Good morning. Yesterday morning, about 7:30, I got a text from the pastor. Pray for our pastor. We're going to pray for him. He's been sick over a week now, and so Brother Bill handled the first service, and of course, I'm standing in front of you now, excited about this morning and what the Lord's going to do. Matter of fact, before we get started, let me pray over the pastor. Okay, let's pray. Father, we praise you this morning, God, and I just lift Dr. Kerr up to you. I pray, God, that you will do a healing, Father, in his body. I pray for the medicines that he's been prescribed, and God, just use those to heal his body. Father, I pray for rest. God, I pray that you will take the burdens off his heart, God, so he can get well, and Lord, take the burdens off his body. Father, I lift him up to you now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, needless to say, getting the call to the big leagues, getting pulled out of the bullpen within the last 24 hours, you know, as a pastor, you know, you always have to have something in your back pocket. I thought about, just because I'm a knucklehead, thought about just, you know, a list of sermons and just, you know, letting them roll out into the youth. So, you know, yesterday I just started praying and thinking about what to talk about today and I don't consider it preaching. You're my friends. Hopefully you consider me a friend. You know, it's just some friends hanging out. That's the way I look at it when I get the call up here. Whether you're in my office or we're in a small group setting or we're in a bigger group setting like this, I just consider it a privilege and a blessing. You know, I joke that I can't believe I get paid to walk alongside my friends in life. And it's pretty cool. But most of the time, whether, again, you're in my office or we're in a small group setting or in here, I try to share my heart the best that I can. And I try to be real with you and transparent and open. And today's one of those days. Look at me crying already. Joy is the emotion of great delight and happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. And I stand before you today and have to admit to you, and I don't know if you're in this place, but this morning I want to ask you and challenge you to evaluate in your own heart. Are you living a life of joy? Honestly, be honest. Be honest with yourself, but most of all, be honest with the Lord, because joy comes from the Lord. And I'll be honest with you this morning. It's been a struggle the last couple of weeks for me. Among things, you know, ministry is not easy. I won't share my burdens with you about that. You know, if you ever want to bring me a grape slushy, that will help, okay? Or pizza, I love pizza. Paydays. A 5-spot every now and then won't hurt either. I forgot where I was going now. I guess I'm getting old.
Last couple weeks.
Thank you. Fellow minister. The last couple of weeks have been a struggle, man. Ministry's tough, but again, that's where I was going. Thanks, Jace. But it's all good. I love what I do, and I'm thankful for you. You know, I had a baby. We had a baby. My daughters. Well, my daughters didn't have a baby. My wife and I, and so that's been a lot of fun. It's been challenging. I'm going to be 49 in December, so I'm going to be 65 when he grows up and graduates high school. That is insane for me to even think that way. So that's been, but most of all, really, listen, I lost a close friend a couple weeks ago, and it was really tough. A guy that I grew up with, known him for over 30 years. He was in my wedding. I was in his. We were in a couple together. You know, we were roommates together when we were young and growing up. And so it was really tough. And I'll be honest, I have no joy. I have no joy. So yesterday when I was talking with the Lord and just thinking and praying about what to do today, this kind of came to mind. You know, I dug into the old sermon vault. I haven't preached this in here, but it's things that I've poured into people through the years. And so today we're just going to look at the roadmap to joy, because I don't know about you. I don't know where you you know, as you sit here today, how you're feeling. But I do. I want to challenge you to be honest and open, because once I studied this, dug into some scripture, and just prayed through this, man, it helped me see that I can't make myself happy. Your happiness and my happiness comes from the Lord. And so there's some things in Matthew 5. So if you have the Word of God with you, if not, there's a pew Bible in front of you. Turn to Matthew 5, and we're going to look at what I consider the roadmap to joy. Again, it's something that I've had and just been working through, I guess. I noticed some notes from like way back, but it really helped me see that, you know, I need Jesus Christ to be my everything. And in this Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is preaching in the Beatitudes here, I mean, what better place to start than a sermon by our Lord and Savior? So I believe in this passage here, he gives 8 characteristics of blessed people, which represent to us the principal graces of a Christian. Okay, I'm going to read the scripture starting in verse 3. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are those who mourn, because they will be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, because they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, because they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, because they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs." Let's pray again. God, we love you. Thank you for your word. And God, I just pray that you'll work through it this morning, God. For those in this room today, as I've been praying all morning long, God, for those in this room that are just seeking joy in the wrong places, I pray that they'll wake up today. God, I pray that your word will come alive to all of us, Lord. As we walk out, Lord, we'll understand joy comes from you. We are blessed when we do certain things, not that it's about what we do, but how we feel about you and how we nurture that relationship with you, God. As we walk out, give us a desire to see that there's things in our lives that we're not doing, or maybe things that we need to be doing better in our faith in you. And God, your scripture tells us that we will be blessed when we have these things. God, open our hearts to your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So there's 8 quick points, okay? It's only 11:08, so we have a couple hours. No, just 8 quick things we'll look at in the scriptures, okay? In verse 3, we see that the poor in spirit are happy, okay? When we're humble and lowly in our own eyes, we're poor in spirit. Think about that. Humble and lowly in our own eyes. That's tough for some of us to admit. It's tough for me to admit sometimes. When we empty ourselves and we thirst for a Redeemer, we're poor in spirit. We are blessed when we come to the end of our rope and realize that only Jesus has the answers for our lives. Then we're poor in spirit. Only when we realize that the world does not revolve around us, but it should be our lives that are to be there for the world, are we poor in spirit? So I wonder in here today, are we living that kind of life? You know, I think about that sometimes. You know, I joke with people about, you know, here's the world, or here's you, and here's the world. You know, sometimes I think we live our lives like that. When we think that things should revolve around us, our schedules, our time, our money. But instead, as Christians, we should be servants. We should be the ones asking the questions. What do we need to do for the world? What do we need to do for our neighbors? What do we need to do for our loved ones? Poor in spirit. Live a low and humble life, okay? Be a servant. In verse 4, we see, "Blessed are those who mourn." Those that mourn are happy. When we have that godly sorrow which is worked out through the true repentance. I wonder how many times in our lives, do you ever lay in bed at night before you go to bed and just check that sin tablet from that day? Cry out to God to show Him the places and maybe the times where you sinned. Maybe things you said that you shouldn't have or done that you didn't, or maybe thoughts. You know, sometimes, you know, we sin in private when we think about things we shouldn't think about. Especially when those things turn into actions. Those that mourn are happy. When we have that godly sorrow which is worked out through true repentance, a humble mind and continual dependence for acceptance on the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. And listen, when we are constantly seeking the Holy Spirit to cleanse away that remaining evil. You know, I love praying the prayer, Lord, use me as a channel for the Holy Spirit to work through. You know, I couldn't do anything without the Holy Spirit's work in my life. I'm just a knucklehead. Like, I'm a Notre Dame fan. You know, I'm a Yankee. I need guidance. I need the Holy Spirit to work in me and through me because I don't make good decisions. When we allow the Holy Spirit to cleanse us from that evil in our lives, and each of us have it, it's up to you to go and ask for true repentance, to mourn over your sins. Only then and only then will we mourn over our sins. We're blessed when we mourn over our sins and realize that it truly, what it truly does to our relationship with God. And listen, when we truly repent, we can see God. I always look at it like this, you know. It's like a beam of light coming down from heaven, okay? And when we have sin in our life, think about this now. It's hard to block light, isn't it? It really is. So think about this. When we have sin in our lives, it's blocking that beam or that ray of light, okay? And when you truly repent, and I mean truly repent, that light continues to shine through. God loves us just as we are, but He loves us too much to leave us that way. And we change when we truly repent. In verse 5, it says that the gentle are happy. The gentle and the meek are those who quietly submit to God. Who can bear insult? Those who are silent or return a soft answer. Gentleness and meekness promotes wealth and comfort and safety, even in this world. Listen, we are blessed when we make ourselves available to be used by God. When you say, Your will, Lord, not mine. So I wonder today, is there any meek and gentle people in here? Sometimes we fight the Lord. Sometimes He's telling each and every one of us at times in our lives to share the gospel with others. But we want to put up that wall even to God. Sometimes it's hard for us to be gentle and meek because maybe the social status that we want to live by. The financial status that we have. It's hard to be not prideful. It's hard for us to be gentle and meek. But Jesus says clearly the gentle are happy. And you know what He says? Blessed are the gentle because they will inherit the earth. In verse 6 it says that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness are happy. The word righteousness is put here for all spiritual blessings. These spiritual blessings are purchased for us by the righteousness of Christ, confirmed by the faithfulness of God. Listen, our desires of spiritual blessings must be earnest. We can't do the good things and work for the Lord and do work for the Lord to get a pat on the back or that a boy. We've got to do those things for people around us because of what Christ did for us first. We've got to be willing vessels. Okay? These are blessings that are not to be the work that is done by our own hands. They must come from the hands of God. We are blessed when our greatest desire is to do right in the world. This happens to us when we serve people who are truly in need. Not just financially or in need of physical things, but those who are in need of spiritual encouragement or love. So I want to challenge you with this today. And it's such a struggle. Look, I struggle sometimes sharing the gospel with people myself. It's not easy. First, we have to put ourselves in that position. You know, the biggest excuse that I hear from some of us in our church is that I just don't have any lost friends. It's not true. All of us know lost people. All of us know somebody that does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, people need Jesus, and we have to be the ones to tell them. We've got to be the vessels. Reach out and give spiritual encouragement this week. Right now, I want you to think about someone that you know that's lost. Maybe somebody that's lost and struggling so bad, they're at the end of their rope and they're ready to give up. Ask that God would use you. Spiritual encouragement and love is something that's so easy for us to do. Look, all you have to do is tell your story. His story is your story. Everyone has a testimony. Everyone sitting in this sanctuary today that has a relationship with Jesus Christ has a story. It's up to you to go tell it. Go share that spiritual encouragement and love with someone this week. In verse 7, it says that the merciful are happy. We must not only bear our own afflictions patiently, but we must do all we can to help those who are in misery. We must have compassion on the souls of others and help them. Have pity on those who are living in sin and seek to minister to them in the name of Jesus Christ. How many of our friends on the flip side of this that you know are living in sin and you just condone that sin? You don't step out in faith and confront a brother and hold somebody accountable. That's a huge problem. Look, I need accountability. I give you permission today. If you ever see me doing or saying something, that it's probably a little, you know, I'm just goofy, you know that. But if it's a little borderline, I want you to call me out on it. I need that. We live a life of joy when we forgive others because it constantly reminds us of God's forgiveness for all of us. Listen, when we're right with God, understanding, accepting of His forgiveness, it makes it so much easier to forgive others. So I want to challenge you with this as well. Maybe there's somebody in your life that's living in sin, or maybe there's somebody in your life that has wronged you, and maybe it's time for you to give them a phone call and talk to them and ask for forgiveness. Be merciful. The merciful are happy, according to the Word of God. In verse 8, we see that the pure in heart are happy, for they shall see God. Here, I believe holiness and happiness are fully described and put together. The heart must be purified by faith and kept for God. Psalm 51:10 says this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. None but the pure are capable of seeing God, nor would heaven be happiness to the impure." As God cannot endure to look upon their iniquity, so they cannot look upon His purity. Our broken hearts are healed when we follow hard after God. When He is the lamp at our feet and we follow in His actions, then and only then will He show up and connect with us in new ways. I want to challenge you today. Are you pure in heart? Do you truly have a pure heart? Do you have a pure heart for the Scriptures? Do you have a pure heart in your prayer life? Are you coming clean of things? In verse 9 it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, because they will be called sons of God. The peacemakers are happy." If we're peacemakers, we love and desire and delight in peace and study to be quiet. We will keep the peace and it will not be broken. Listen, if the peacemakers are blessed, man, I pity the peace breakers. I don't know about you. Think about this in your relationships today. Are you a peacemaker? Are you a peace breaker? What kind of relationships do you have? There's somebody that, again, maybe you need to get right with. You will truly know community when you help others live at peace with each other. When Jesus came to the earth, the message was peace on earth. And when He left earth, He asked us to continue His mission of being peacemakers. It's up to us to keep the peace. And in verse 10, "Those who are persecuted for righteousness are happy, This is a kingdom worth dying for, whatever the cost. You know, I heard the old saying a long time ago, and I love this, but in most kingdoms, the king expects the people to die for him. But in the kingdom of God, the king died for his people. Those who are persecuted for righteousness are happy. Being with Jesus in heaven is such a great reward. It is worth paying any price for. So the roadmap to joy, kind of quick, kind of spelled out for you in Matthew 5. So, again, I want to challenge you. If you're living a life today and you're struggling and you have no joy in your life, maybe there's somebody that you know that has no joy. Maybe you can refer back to these passages and just pour these things into people that you know that could be struggling. You know, I think that we all need to review this roadmap to joy often because it's going to help us understand how much Jesus truly loves us. Today's invitation is pretty simple. Jason and I will be down here, down front. And if there's something that we can pray for you about, I would invite you to come down. Look, I'm with you. If you're here today and you're struggling with just happiness and being content in who you are in the Lord, I'm with you. If you'd like some prayer, we're here. If maybe you've been visiting with us and today's the day that you feel like the Lord's calling you to join our congregation, we're here. We'll accept you today. Everybody stand, and I'm going to pray. If you have business to do with the Lord today, the altar's open. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We praise you, and we thank you for this time. Lord, I lift those up into this room today, God, that are struggling. Maybe they don't have a relationship with you. Maybe they do, and they're just struggling with being content in who you've created them to be and the way that you want them to live their lives. God, I pray today for those that will come down and spend time at the altar, God, just crying out to you to fill their cup. Lord, we all get empty at times. God, I pray today that you will fill us up. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.